Today on the School of Podcasting, we're going to talk a little iTunes feedback, a little feed burner question. I want to talk about not being afraid to try things. But before I do anything, being that you are listening to this, more than likely, if you listen to it on the day it is released, you're listening to this on Memorial Day. And for those of you outside of the States, this is a day where we set apart to reflect and to honor those who have gone before us to help protect this company, those folks that have been in our armed forces. And I'll be honest with you, my dad was in the Korean War and things like that, but it wasn't really till I started to know more and more veterans that I truly realize, number one, the courage it takes, and number two, the sacrifice that these people have gone through to help keep this country safe. So I just want to, before I even get into the podcasting thing, just say a special thank you to anyone who has ever answered the call to be in the armed forces. Thank you very much. And I greatly and deeply appreciate your service.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
All right, podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. I know you're busy, and we're going to get right to the point here in a second. Like, for instance, if you want to contact me, here's how you do it. And these are all out at our website at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can send your voice in two ways. You can call it in toll-free, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. It's 888-563-3228. There's also a button out at the website that you can click on to leave a voicemail if you've got a microphone plugged into your computer, if you're on an iPad, things like that. And then you can also leave a comment on our website, which is out at schoolofpodcasting.com. And we're going to send it over to Tina, who has a question about FeedBurner.
Hi, Dave. It's Tina from the Savvy Homeschool Moms podcast, and I have a quick question for you about FeedBurner. So, as you know, we've just started out, and we've been watching our FeedBurner stats, and the first time I looked at it, we had 6 subscribers, which is how we started off. And then the next day, it jumped, after our release of our podcast, it jumped to 23, and then the next day, it went down to 12. So I was talking to my co-host about this, and she's used FeedBurner for her blog for some time, and she says she doesn't really rely on the FeedBurner stats because it's pretty unreliable, and she lost 100 subscribers according to her FeedBurner stats in one day at one point. So I'm wondering how reliable it is and what your experience has been, and what do you think about the numbers being so wonky like that? So it'd be great if you could answer my question. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Tina, thank you so much. And yeah, FeedBurner was really huge in 2005 because iTunes had jumped on board and we needed a way to add these special codes for iTunes because just a standard RSS feed wouldn't work. iTunes needed your standard RSS plus this special stuff. And FeedBurner was a way to add that. There were other plugins and such, but FeedBurner made it easy. Plus, you could count your subscribers. Now, I'll put a link out on the website. I've got a interview with Michael Bell from Blueberry about really, in a way, you can use the plugin PowerPress. And the thing about it was, you know, whoever you're tying yourself to, whatever you are submitting to iTunes, you're kind of married to that. But FeedBurner is one of the most confusing aspects of podcasting. And the good news is you don't have to use FeedBurner anymore, and you can add these special iTunes codes in PowerPress. That's the plugin I recommend. I had hoped to do a little more in-depth on the new PowerPress features this week, and just didn't quite get to it. I'll get more to that in a second. But a couple quick things about FeedBurner. Number one, you don't have to use FeedBurner anymore. And I completely am. I've set up a couple podcasts where I'm just using PowerPress. And the whole thing used to be, well, what if PowerPress goes away? Well, you know what? It's backed up by Blueberry. And here's the thing. PowerPress has a way to tell it, hey, if you're looking at me and for whatever reason, Blueberry goes out of business, I can tell in my PowerPress plugin, hey, I'm now, maybe I've switched from Blueberry, the PowerPress plugin, to FeedBurner. I can do that. I can say, hey, iTunes, look over there now. Okay, so I'm not so much worried about that. But those are the two ways. But the thing about FeedBurner is, and I actually interviewed probably back in 2006, one of the guys from FeedBurner. And this is how I've always understood this. And if you understand this more accurately, because it is a little blurry, I could have a computer at home with iTunes on it. I could have my phone on that has, you know, some sort of podcatching software. I can go to work and maybe I am allowed to have iTunes on my work computer. All those are looking at your FeedBurner feed, let's just say for this example, which is in iTunes. So when I fire up iTunes, iTunes checks your FeedBurner feed. In fact, if you leave iTunes open, it may recheck your feed and recheck your feed and recheck your feed multiple times during the day. So I've always looked at FeedBurner stats as how many times somebody checked your feed to see if anything is new. And that's great, except it can be easily exaggerated. So if some people only download podcasts on Monday, you might have a huge spike in subscribers on Monday. And maybe they turn their computer off because now they've got all their podcasts and they don't really need to go back and resync or anything like that. Or maybe people only listen to podcasts on certain days. So your numbers in terms of subscribers are going to be all over the place. In the early days, 2004 through 2006 of podcasting, it was nice because you could see a steady increase of numbers. And in the very beginning of podcasting, it was like a huge spike. It was awesome. And I still log into my FeedBurner feed and I take a look, but I don't give them much credit, much value. I look at it and go, yeah, okay, yeah, people are still checking my feed. Because it can be all over the place, especially the download link. You can have an option to have FeedBurner count downloads. Don't. Just don't. Go over, use Blueberry, has free stats. PodTrack, that's PodTrac, has free stats. And both those systems work phenomenal with the PowerPress plugin. So because I don't really value the stats in FeedBurner, because I don't really need their iTunes information, and because all the other things that they add, FeedFlare and widgets and things, I don't really need them anymore. It's not something where it used to be, this is the easiest way. I kind of look at it now as adding a middleman. And I've had zero problems with the podcast that I've set up just using PowerPress. So in a nutshell, and this goes for everything, when it comes to stats, because you're just starting out, it's going to be really, really, really hard. But don't get hung up on your stats. It makes you stressed out. It's better to focus your attention on creating good content and making sure your website looks good when people get there, making sure, you know, you're getting the most out of your content. Because looking at stats just makes you go, oh, wait, no, it was, you know, 13 last week and it's 6 this week. It's no, just do your thing the best you can do and don't worry about it. When you are looking for sponsors down the road, if that's something you look to do, then those people are going to want to know how many downloads you have. And that is the stat I worry about, not the FeedBurner subscriptions. I look at my Libsyn, I look at my Blueberry, I look at my PodTrack, whoever I'm using for stats, I look at the number of downloads. And even that, just so you know, you will never have an absolutely 100% accurate idea of how many people are listening. Why? Because again, I could listen on my phone and download a copy. I could download a copy on my home computer. And if I'm allowed, I can download a copy of that same episode on my work computer. Well, you say, great, your stats are going to show you that you have 3 listeners. No, actually, you've got 1. So don't get hung up on stats. It's really hard to do. It's fun when you first start out because that number will grow. And then there will come a point when it kind of just teeters off and then grows a little more and a little more. This show goes anywhere from, oh, at this point, 700 to 1,800. So anywhere from 700 to 1800. So that's a sway of 1,000 plus, depending on the topic. Some of them people like and they share. Do I freak out when I go, oh my gosh, this one only had, no, because I remember the days when I only had 60. And in reality, the only thing that I look for is I see on occasion where I'll look in and like, wow, I had 10 downloads. That's a red flag because I'm like, wait a minute, I've got, I'm usually getting 3 digits, 4 digits, and I just got 2. That's a red flag that there's something technically wrong somewhere. And one of the things that I'm starting to see, at least on my phone, which is always fun, is that if you embed a YouTube video and then put your MP3 in the slot for your media URL, even though you've specified this is where the media is, if you have a YouTube video embedded, so maybe you've talked about a YouTube video in your audio podcast, and you'll say, I'll put a link to this out in the show notes. And because at least the RSS feed on my phone, which is looking at Feedburner in this case, it's trying to count the YouTube video, even though that's like probably a flash file or an M4A, whatever it is, it's trying to use that as the media file, not the MP3 file. So be careful with that. And maybe just put a link to the video, not an actual embedded video for that. I'm still troubleshooting that and making sure that is a problem. I'm going to verify the problem and then B, look into an example of that. So be careful with that. We're going to switch gears and talk about iTunes. And I've got a voicemail here from my buddy Charles from the Bear Crawling Nation.
Hey, Dave. I'm trying to speak quietly now because, wow, SpeakPipe went really nuts on the red line here. This is Charles from Bear Crawling, Bear Crawling Nation, No Agenda Stream, all that jazz. Love the show, of course, and listen to it. And you've motivated me, man. I'm always learning things from you, always learning things from School of Podcasting. And this newest episode is no different, but that's not what motivated me. What's motivated me is you're speaking at Blog World, man, and seeing that, and I was like, you know, that'd be something great for me to do. And then one of my business partners, Armand at Mon from The Other Side of Life, was like, oh, and I've got him hooked on your show, by the way. When he works out, he listens to your show every time he works out. That's his 15-minute running on the treadmill, whatever. Loves your show. Got him hooked there. And he came and he's like, Dave Jackson is speaking at Blog World. I'm like, yeah. Or no, he goes, your friend is speaking at Blog World. I'm like, which one? I know a couple people speaking at Blog World. He's like, yeah, Dave Jackson. I'm like, yeah, I know, Dave. We should do that, too. I was like, dude, it's June 5th. That's 2 weeks away. No. He's very motivated by you, very, very encouraged by you. And I know he's going to hear this because he listens to your show. So it was a good thing. It motivated us to contact him, even though it was last minute. And we're actually in talks to speak in Vegas. So thank you for motivating us, dude. You're an awesome inspiration. But I'm calling about the newest episode of School of Podcasting where we're talking about iTunes. I'd like to be a little negative about iTunes for a second. One, they've dropped a lot of support for podcasters. You no longer can ping the servers. And if I misunderstand this, please educate me. But from what my point of view and other people I've talked to's point of view is iTunes just kind of gave podcasting the middle finger. Like, we make it harder for you to get on iTunes. We don't clarify anything. I know for sure they don't answer their help tickets. I send in help ticket after help ticket after help ticket for different shows that I help produce or work with or just friends of mine. Nothing. No response from them. I really hate iTunes. Although it is the biggest distributor in the world. However, you're speaking about the guy who does erotic art or whatever, erotic stories, got kicked off of iTunes. His audience hadn't lost. You put out on your webpage, go to advanced, like you're talking about how you should test it out. You go to advanced, add a podcast, put the URL in. Now they can still get it through iTunes. It's just not on the iTunes store. Because I got to say, dude, I'm sorry, but screw iTunes. They're making it harder and harder. And yes, these are the quote-unquote rules that you found out by finding another show that told you about it. If I misunderstand, correct me again. But there's no listed, here's what will get you kicked off of iTunes. They say, here's a checkbox. We agree to the terms. And it's this big, huge, end-user-long contract that, dude, who reads that, number one? Number two, it's not explicitly clear that, hey, if we put a naughty word in the title, they're not going to let us on. Or if you put a piece of artwork in there, and I produce a show that I'm not going to offend your audience with, but it has what would be considered an offensive word in the title. It kind of separates the audience that we're going for. The artwork is all branded. It's a part of it. And if by these rules it's not explicit, see, I wouldn't call it explicit. It's something you can say on primetime TV, but it's still a naughty word, right? And, you know, you didn't put out there. iTunes didn't put out there up front, hey, you can't do this. They sent me a rejection letter because there was a technical error with the feed. Not once did it say any of these things you listed. This is the first time out of 4 years of dealing with iTunes, this is the first time that I've heard this is what will get you kicked off of iTunes or keep you from getting on. It's irritating. It's frustrating. And I honestly respond to the people who are like, iTunes, not that you're saying this. iTunes is the end-all, be-all. No, it's really not. Really, it's not. Go find Google Reader. Go find Miro. Go find a million other ways to subscribe to my show, because iTunes has given me the middle finger one too many times. I just can't support them. I can't say I don't care because I know my audience likes iTunes. But honestly, I've developed a rapport with my audience that BlackBerry, the RIM podcast catcher on BlackBerry's, is my largest download audience. So just wanted to put in 2 cents. Love your show, dude. Keep it up. Thank you for inspiring us. And hopefully we'll be joining you in Vegas if you go to Vegas in the winter. So good luck at Blog World. I'd love to talk to you after you get back. And thanks again for the show.
Charles, thank you very much. I am glad that I inspired you. And I am not sure if I'm going to Vegas yet. That'll depend on what happens in New York. And again, if you're interested in going to that, go to Blog World and you can save with a coupon. That coupon is PODDAVE10. And if you're not going to make it to New York, you can still buy the virtual ticket. But so I appreciate that. And as for iTunes, again, back in the day, iTunes made it easy to subscribe to podcasts. When it used to be, if you were using things like Juice was a program, you had to copy a link and then find a place and paste it. You can still do this with, like you mentioned, you can go into Advanced and subscribe to a podcast manually. But back in the day, it wasn't so easy. People didn't understand that. They didn't understand RSS feeds. And iTunes made that easy with their one button mouse click. Well, the one button mouse click has pretty much gone away. There are ways you can configure it to where it'll take you right to iTunes now and click it. But here's the thing. If you're on an iPad, I don't know that you can subscribe to podcasts. I've looked and looked and looked. I don't own an iPad. I've played on other people's. And in the short amount of time, I've troubleshot that. It sure appears that you cannot subscribe to podcasts. Now, you can go to these podcasts and download episodes. But in terms of starting iTunes on your iPad and having it go out and check feeds, I don't think it's doing that anymore. If somebody can correct me on that, I would love to know that. But I agree. It's not that iTunes is giving podcasting the middle finger so much as we're just not as chummy as we used to be. And here is my hypothesis of that. iTunes makes money on music, on movies, and things of that nature that they're selling in iTunes. Nobody's selling their podcast in iTunes. And maybe if, you know, there's a novel idea, iTunes, give us a easy way to sign up where we could sell our podcast, because there are ways you can do it. I talk about that on the More Podcast Money show at morepodcastmoney.com. There are sites like CD Baby and TuneCore, things like that. But because podcasting doesn't bring in money, I believe is why we're not a high priority. That's my own thought. Because in typical, you know, when it comes to business, follow the money. And we don't bring in any. Now, we do bring people to their software. We're always telling people to go subscribe to us at iTunes. And for that, I'm not sure why we don't get any love and why they don't. I guess the reason they don't want people to subscribe, if you think about it again, is I just said, if you want to go get podcasts, you have to go to iTunes and click on download manually. And while you're there, they're going to bombast you with, here's the latest music that's out, here's the latest movies you can download. So I understand why they're doing that. It's just that's not what we want. And that's why more and more people, A, don't like iTunes, because they keep adding more features like the, Ping and all these other features that nobody's using, but it makes the software very stingy when it comes to consuming your computer's memory and slowing things down And that's why people are doing things like Stitcher at Stitcher.com, where you don't even have to download a podcast anymore. If you're going to use that and you need an activation code, use Dave J. I use Beyond Pod on my Android phone. There are all sorts of other ones. We talked about Instacast last week and how that is integrating with Flatter.com. And now podcasters, by the way, speaking of that, little follow-up. In the week that I talked about Flatter.com, I was actually flattered 3 times. I don't know how much money that's going to bring me, but I was flattered. So I will keep you posted on that. But yeah, iTunes is not what it used to be, but I say that to say do not ignore iTunes. It still is a very, very big piece and a very easy way to subscribe to podcasts. I'm actually looking at my Libsyn stats, libsyn.com. By the way, you know, if you want a free month, use the coupon code SOPFREE at Libsyn. But there is my last episode, 59% of my traffic came from iTunes. So don't ignore iTunes, but realize that you need, and I guess that's how we'll wrap this up. You should always have a button for iTunes on your website, but you should always have a good old standard RSS feed button. That way, because if I'm on my phone, I can navigate to your website, click on your RSS feed, and it will say, do you want to use, in my case, Beyond Pod to access this RSS feed? So it's still kind of one-click subscription. But if you don't have an RSS feed, here's what you have to do. Just to explain to you how hard you're making it for people who want your podcast, and if you don't put an RSS feed, this is what they have to do. They have to go into iTunes. They have to subscribe to your podcast, even though they're not going to use iTunes. Go into iTunes and right-click on the name of your podcast. Not an episode, but the name. And I believe it's Get Info, if I remember right. And from there, it will show you the RSS feed that iTunes is looking at. And so then they've got to manually enter that RSS feed into whatever software they're using. Now, do you honestly think people are going to do that? Subscribe to your podcast, wait for that episode to download, go in, right-click on your name of your podcast, go to Get Info, and then look at the RSS feed, and then manually type in that very long RSS feed. Nobody's going to do that. So keep that in mind. Put an RSS feed on your website that's clickable, that's easy to find right there, typically in the upper right-hand corner or the left-hand side, wherever you want to put it, somewhere above the fold if you're looking to increase your subscribers. Charles, thanks for sending that in. Appreciate the feedback. All right, wanted to, we always talk about, you know, being passionate about your podcast and you want to be consistent in your delivery, things like that. But also, don't be afraid to try new things, and then solicit feedback. So I'll give you an example, and I never would have thought this. We talk so much about having good sound quality, and I did an experiment, did a few, with my podcast called the Logical Weight Loss Podcast. You can find that at logicalloss.com. And what I started doing was taking my portable recorder and walking around wherever I was walking, if it was around the neighborhood, if it was around, I've been going out to a nature center and I'm getting all sorts of fun geese making noises and frogs and the birds and all that. And I sent it out to people and said, hey, is this bothering you? Are you missing the sound of the studio and just me and a microphone? And it was the direct opposite. No, Dave, I love the ambiance, right? I love the sightseeing tour. I love hearing you get barked at and run away from dogs in the neighborhood. And it's inspiring me to get up and move. Because if you're getting up and moving, then so can I. And so I was worried that they were going to not like me trying something. And lo and behold, they were like, no, please keep doing it. Now, I'm not sure how I'm going to do that in the winter, but I will jump off that bridge when I get to it. So I say that to say, you know, it never hurts to try something and then solicit feedback and see if anybody has any kind of yes, no, up, down. And like I said, all I've heard is positive response from this. And so now it's kind of weird. Saturday mornings, I wake up and I grab my portable recorder. I drive to the park and I have my notes on a piece of paper and make my podcast. Come back in, put in some intro, outro music and some fade in, fade out music, and we're done. But the actual recording was done in this case using a Roland R-05 recorder, and that's it. And they love it. So don't be afraid to try things with your podcast. And that is going to do it for this edition of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. What did we learn today? Well, that iTunes is still important, but not as important as it used to be. We learned that FeedBurner is a way to have your iTunes tags, but again, not quite as a definitive solution, because back in the day, it was the solution, really, unless you wanted to hand code your feed. So becoming a little less relevant, and don't get hung up on your stats. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are going to Blog World, I'll be speaking there on Thursday. That is coming right around the corner there, June 5th through the 7th. You can find it out by going to schoolofpodcasting.com. I'm going to type this in right now, and then go to Blog World. And again, this is in New York City. I do have a room secured. So if you are looking for somebody to split a room with and you are of a male persuasion, I'm more than happy to split the cost of my room with somebody. It is June 5th through the 7th in New York City. According to the website I'm at, it's in 8 days, 15 hours, 16 minutes, and 30 seconds. Looking forward to that. So if you're looking to start a podcast, hey, I've got a website that has everything you need to start a podcast. It's called theschoolofpodcasting.com. We've got step-by-step tutorials. We've got resources for music, for graphics, for all of the above. Anything you need to start a podcast, it's right there, schoolofpodcasting.com. You also get little old me, your personal podcast coach, to help you along the way. If you'd like to jump in on the conversation like Tina and Charles did today, I would love to hear from you. Again, you can call in your comments, 888-563-3228. You can record your comments, email them to me like Tina did. It's Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can use the voicemail button out at the website, or you can leave a comment out at our website, which of course is schoolofpodcasting.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Until then, class is dismissed. God bless.